All right, episode 4. How are we going today?
Oh, it's fantastic. I'm looking forward to getting into episode 4.
Yeah. So, in our last episode, we talked about biopsychology and why understanding consumer behavior is crucial. But even when you know your audience, you still need a strong brand positioning strategy to make a true impact. So what we'll cover in today's episode is the key elements of brand positioning, steps that you can define and refine your brand's positioning, common mistakes businesses make and how you can avoid them, and real-world case studies and positioning success and failure. So what is brand positioning? Brand positioning is more than just your logo, your tagline. It's about how people perceive your brand in their minds. So if your brand has unclear or generic, customers will just forget you, like super easy. The strongest brands don't just compete on price or product. They own a unique space within their audience's mind. So why is it important? So one, it cuts through market noise. Customers are constantly bombarded with choices. So positioning your business correctly will help you stand out from a crowded marketplace.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if you look at any category, you know, I mean, if you take Brisbane for instance, and the amount of digital agencies there, marketing agencies and agencies for this and agencies for advertising agencies, it's hard for a lot of customers to understand the differences between what they all do.
Yeah.
Because a lot of growth agencies like ourselves do marketing, sales, and advertising as part of the solution that we provide. So making sure that you position your brand effectively will help you reach the customers that you're trying to get to much more easily. And of course, that then filters through with your messaging and your brand assets and things in terms of your designs and things that you attach to that.
Yeah. Secondly, it builds recognition and trust. people remember and return to brands that have a clear identity.
That's exactly yeah. Right. And again, a lot of people will, grow an affinity for a lot of brands like Nike, Maserati, and some of these bigger brands that you kind of know, because they've been there. They've been there for a long time. They've built the trust and the recognition. And then you need to continually build that trust and recognition because there's always new people coming up and learning about your brand. I mean, I wrote an article on LinkedIn, or not an article, but a post about the amount of marketing budget that Coca-Cola spends annually, which was working out at $500 million. So that's astronomical.
Yeah, a lot of people think that and go, holy crap, why are they spending so much? But you need to be, every single touch point, which we'll talk about later as well, you need to be in people's faces and be there and,
In fact, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure it was $5 billion worldwide, not $500 million, $5 billion. So you can see just from that alone. And that works out at roughly about 10% of their annual revenue. So it just goes to show you. And that's another thing about brand as well. When you're doing this kind of stuff, if you're looking, trying to understand how much people spend on marketing as a whole, it can range from anything from 2 to 15% or more, really depending on the business itself.
Yeah. So it's also important because you can justify your pricing and value. So if your positioning is really strong, then customers will be more inclined to pay more because they understand your unique value.
Yeah, and the value is really important. How do you actually go about showing the value, especially when you're in a crowded market, and that's all about differentiating yourself from your competitors. And that in itself is all about brand positioning.
Yeah. And lastly, it creates long-term competitive advantage. So if people associate your brand with something distinct, competitors will have a harder time just copying you.
Yeah, 100%. And again, You know, we've as a growth agency, we offer a lot of the same sort of services, although I'm sure we probably do it better than others. But in order for us to do the best we can possibly do is we've created a application which is for the customer's website, or at least it started off as a website platform and has now grown arms and legs. But because it's got security, performance, and SEO and other functionality caked into the actual application, it provides a competitive advantage working with us over our competitors because it helps drive revenue, reduce customer acquisition cost, and improve the sales velocity for our customers. So,
Some examples of strong brand positioning would be like Tesla. So they're all about innovation and sustainability in the luxury car market. They don't just sell the cars, they're selling a vision of the future.
yeah, 100%. And again, they're not just doing cars either. They're doing, solar batteries and things like that as well. So they're always on that innovation and
Innovative,
sustainability type of market.
Dove. So Dove don't just sell soap, they promote real beauty and self-confidence. Their positioning has made them a leader in the personal care industry. And I would 100% agree with this because when I think of soap, like physical bar of soap, I will always think of Dove.
So
And
why is that though? Why do you do that?
I think just because, they're marketing, they're everywhere. And I think they're brand positioning is really good, and also with their marketing, it is all really about like beauty and feeling like your best self and self-confidence and smelling nice, looking nice, feeling nice. And even if you were to like smell Dove soap, you just know you would know you, there's a distinct smell with it.
Yeah, that's right. So what they're essentially what you're saying is they're actually selling the experience of
The feeling,
the feeling, the emotion of how, this is how it feels when you use Dove. And again, what you're saying there about them always marketing things, that goes back to them building that recognition and trust for that particular brand. So yeah, but Dove soap does have a distinctive brand. I mean, even if you never had that bar of soap in front of you, if you just smelled it, you would know it was Dove, right? And it's nice.
Easily. And lastly, the Dollar Shave Club. So they position themselves as a an affordable, no nonsense alternative to overpriced razors, which wins over like the big brand markups. I
Yeah,
think is really fun.
so that's like Gillette and things like that as well. I mean, what Dollar Shave Club have done is they've built a fantastic brand, which has went into a very, very saturated market and competed with the big boys in order to reach a certain segment of the market that people, because there are people out there that think that go into the shops and see how much it is for razors and think, what the
Yeah, I'm that person.
hell? And there's lots of people like you,
I think like women's stuff for just the razors alone is like for a four pack, it's like something like $25, $30 for a four pack of razors. I think that is just
And how long does that normally last?
I don't know, you can stretch it out. I'd say maybe 4 months, one a month, if you've been generous.
So it's 1 a month. So that's say about what, $6.25, is it? $6.25 per month for to have a clean shaven legs.
I bought a
But
big packet, the big like 12 packet of sorry, one time head things, and I
yeah.
think it was promised like 8 months or something.
And how long did it last?
I don't know, I'm still using it.
You're still using it. And how do they compare to the ones the brands you were previously using?
They're better because they've got the soapy bit on it, so they just glide better. But you can't, like, I feel like once the soap bit's gone, it's just a bit bland.
Yeah. So
Yeah, no parts.
in terms of positioning them for the ones you used to use and the ones you did use, just elaborate a bit more on that.
I think the ones that I use now with like the soap are, they need that bit more higher because technically you don't need an external soap to start shaving. You could just use the razor because it's got soap on it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Each to their own. Just get laser. Servistrong brand positioning strategy is built on five core elements. That is target audience, who are you speaking to, your unique value proposition, what makes you different and better, category and competitors, where do you fit in and how do you stand apart, brand personality and voice, how do you communicate, and emotional connection, what do you do for your audience to feel? So going back to the target audience, like who are you speaking to? You cannot appeal to everyone. You need to know exactly who your ideal customer is.
100%. And I go on about this all the time because generally when we go into businesses and start partnering with clients, they generally don't have a strategy in the first place, in which case if they've no strategy, the chances are they've not even, they don't know who their customer is because they probably think that everybody's your customer. It's almost like thinking that, you know, when you look at, say, Maserati and Ford as two competitors in the same category of cars, or it being cars, they're actually positioned completely differently.
Yeah.
So a Maserati will not be marketing to the same people that this Ford are marketing a Ford Fiesta to, as an example, even though both of them do the same thing, get you from A to B. So it's really, really important to make sure that you're targeting the right customer for your product. And your product and service has got that product market fit, for instance. And again, what basically happens with brand positioning is once you understand where you're positioning your brand in your category, that will then automatically lead, or it should do anyway, to seeking out and understanding who your ideal customer profile is. And then that then would lead on to the messaging after that.
Yeah. The more specific your audience, the more tailored and effective your messaging can be as well. 100%. A great example of that is Lululemon. They target premium health conscious consumers. So they don't just, you know, go for anyone who wears athletic wear. They're really set on their target audience.
Yeah.
Number two, so unique value proposition. What makes you different and what makes you better than your competitors?
Well, I think, I mean, the thing here, I mean, this is probably like the core of your position. You know, what do you offer that your competitors don't? Or what is your unique value? If you're an agency, like a marketing agency, and, you know, there's another 100 marketing agencies in your area, you know, what is your UFP? What is your unique value proposition which differentiates you from your competitors? And that's the thing about making sure that you are differentiated. You know, I mean, we do marketing, but we go a step further and we do digital transformation software, and we also look at metrics that matter. So we look more at things like customer acquisition cost, how we're going to reduce that, sales velocity, how we're going to increase that, etc. So it's just understanding what your value proposition is, and your value proposition will actually be, it should be interwoven within your messaging as well, which is directed at your ICP, which should help your brand grow.
Yeah. And a really good example of a good value proposition is Slack. So there's this Be Less Busy, their UVP, highlights productivity and ease of communication, which differentiates them from like traditional email. And we've used Slack before and we use it to speak to our staff globally. I think it's really good.
Yeah, it's just like a kind of messaging platform, really, you know. And I mean, there's been quite an uptake on messaging platforms and things as well to actually bring people together, especially if you are working more remotely than the team being in office, but it's just a single place where people can get their, get their nibbin, if you like. If there's an issue or someone needs support or someone wants to ask a question, it's good to get in there. But I mean, Slack do that pretty well.
Yeah. Three is category and competitors. So where do you fit in and how do you stand apart from your competitors?
Yeah, so you need to understand, obviously, your industry and the alternatives that your customer has as opposed to you. And again, at this point, you need to try and make sure that you're positioned correctly. You understand your ICP. You've got your value proposition set out, which differentiates you from your competitors. Where do you position your own business in comparison to your competitors? Are you the premium option, or are you the budget friendly alternative, or the eco conscious choice, an example?
Yeah, and a really good example of this is Chipotle positioned themselves as fast casual instead of just fast food, so they separate themselves away from McDonald's and KFC, bit more of that higher end or medium end tier as opposed to McDonald's.
Yeah.
Number four is your brand personality and voice. So how do you communicate to your target audience? Your tone, messaging, and visuals should all align with your positioning. Number five is emotional connection. So where do you want your what do you want your audience to feel? People don't just buy products, they buy ideas and emotions. I think I've said that a million times on this podcast already, and we're only in episode 4. But people don't buy products, they'll buy how you make them feel.
That's right. Perfect. I mean, I'm pretty sure there was a quote I was going to say there, but I can't actually remember what I was going to say. But basically, it's around the theme of people don't remember what you said, they remember of what you made, how you made them feel.
People don't remember what you do, they remember how you make them feel.
That's correct, yeah, and that's exactly right. And the thing is, brand personality, if you go back to number four there, right, we were talking about your tone of voice, that's really important, and that ties into number five as well, because your messaging and your visuals and things need to align with your positioning that attracts your ICP to your business. Once they're attracted to it, then that emotional connection should kick in, and really that's how a lot of businesses now are harnessing the power of community. Because people want to be part of something that's bigger than themselves, but they want to feel like they belong somewhere,
Yeah. So how do you actually define and strengthen your brand positioning? There is 5 different ways that you can do this. So number one is identify your ideal customer. Who are they? What are their pain points? And what do they truly care about?
100%. Again, we keep talking about this consistently, but basically it's so important to make sure that you're targeting your ICP. And the thing is, I mean, I've seen businesses that have where we've done an audit of their social, if they were just doing paid ads as an example on social, where they're getting they've got ads going, but they're almost just targeting the area that they're in, rather than going really deep into actually targeting them at their ICP within that area, which would reduce the cost per click, reduce the budget that's chewed up by people clicking on their ads that are not their ICP, reduce the time it takes for them to deal contact with that customer, once you've contacted them, you realise they're not a good fit, etc., etc. So identifying your ideal customer persona is absolutely essential.
Yeah, and a common mistake that a lot of people make is they do try to target everyone instead of just focusing on their target audience.
100%.
Number two is find your unique angle. So what do you actually offer that your competitors don't? And how can you frame your product or service differently from other people?
So what we do there, as a growth agency, I was just mentioning that word again, growth agency. So we help businesses grow through market and sales and digital transformation, right? Now, what we do is we sell the outcome of what they can expect to get from working with us. So to give you an example, we worked with a local company here. They were doing, it took them 6 years to get to 1.6 million. They were working with us for 12 months in total. 3 months of that was developing a new website. In that 9 months that they were that the new website went live, we started doing their paid ads and things. We increased their revenue to 3.6 million. So we added an extra 2 million at the bottom line. That's the outcome. Now, you could probably say that, we're just the same. If we didn't differentiate ourselves, then we're just another marketing agency, but we differentiate ourselves as being a growth agency, and we do things differently from your kind of usual marketing agency, if you like. And that includes building tools like a website platform and things that gives us that competitive edge.
Yeah. Third thing you need to do is you need to craft a clear positioning statement. So, brand name helps target audience with unique benefit by how you do it differently. A really good example is Nike. So, Nike inspires athletes of all levels to push their limits with performance-driven products and motivational branding.
Yeah, it's
It's not
fantastic. I mean,
much you
there's
can, yeah.
not much more you can say on that. It is important to get that positioning statement aligned and get that created, though. So that's an essential part of brand positioning.
Yeah. Fourth thing you need to do is you need to communicate consistently across all touch points. This one is a huge one.
Yeah, where do we start, eh? So generally, what happens is when we've got a business that comes into us, they will generally have already been with another marketing agency, and or they've tried to do things themselves, and they do a little bit of this there, a little bit of this here, and they get absolutely zero results, and they spend all the budget, because they just simply don't know what they're doing. They've got no strategy. A lot of the time, they've got no brand positioning. They've got no ICP defined, etc., etc. So it's absolutely important before they start spending money on all these other touch points, like their the social media accounts and things like that, that they first get their strategy sorted out, get their brand positioning in place, understand who their ICP is, get their messaging and all the other assets ready. That then should move over to their website. And most businesses should always look at their website as being their number one market, their number one marketing sales tool, right? Invest in it because that's what's going to help you differentiate yourself from your competitors, especially if you've invested the money into tools, content, and all the rest of it to help your customers with their pain points and answer their questions through FAQ and all that kind of stuff. Once the website is completed and ready, then they should start looking at the other touch points, as in the social media accounts, the paid advertising, and all that kind of stuff. Absolutely essential to make sure that they get the website done first. Once they've got the brand positioning strategy done, then they should be able to communicate consistently across all those touch points.
Yep. And a really good example is Apple's sleek minimalist branding, which is reflected everywhere from their stores to their product design, to how they market their products. And I would 100% agree because I went into Apple today to get your phone fixed and that. And you go in, there's no products sitting about anywhere. There's a table with one product that you can have a look at. You speak to a technician or to an Apple consultant, and they're dressed in a plain t-shirt with the logo, jeans, and sneakers. Straight to the point and simple.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, I mean, any time I've been in an Apple store, it's always been a good experience.
Number five, so you need to test and adapt everything.
Yeah, so I mean, generally, what should happen? This should actually apply right throughout your entire business, really. Probably more, even more so, marketing and sales. And your brand positioning also needs to be, checked, and have a look at feedback. Are we actually reaching our ICP? Is our brand positioning correct? If it's not correct, then what do we need to change to focus on the right ICP at that particular for that particular positioning, So it's absolutely essential for to adjust based on customer response and market trends.
Yeah. So a few different brand positioning mistakes and how you can avoid them. We've got five here. So the first one is being too generic. So if your brand just sounds like every other brand, you're just going to get forgotten in a marketplace of businesses.
Yeah, and you need to focus on what makes you unique. I mean, this goes back to, understanding your brand, your positioning, understanding your ICP, making sure your messaging resonates with your ICP, etc., etc., and continually getting that feedback so that you can continually evolve your brand positioning itself.
Yeah. And really easy way to fix this is, yeah, focus on what makes you unique. Number two, you focus on only features and not benefits. Customers don't care about product specs, they care about how you will impact their life. How are you going to make their life better?
Yeah, you'll probably find that most people, when they're looking at buying a product or service, the first thing they're going to ask themselves is what's in it for me? Because let's be honest, nobody cares about Adonis Media. Nobody cares about what we are doing. All they care about is what are you going to do to help make my life easier?
Help make my business money.
Aye, that's exactly right, 100%.
Easy fix for this, you need to sell the outcome, not the product. Number three, so changing positioning too often, and this is something actually, with a current client, they came to me and said, "Oh, we are going to rebrand our socials every year." And I think I fell to the ground. I was like, no, don't do that. Let's not do that. If you're constantly rebranding, you're just going to confuse customers. And like we said earlier, you're not going to be remembered for anything you do.
No, that's exactly right. It's all about consistency. If you look at, I see a lot of like brands and social media and things. You can go from one account to another, and they've changed the background color of with their
Logo,
logo and
yeah.
things, and you can hardly read it, and it just looks a mess. So when you go from LinkedIn to Instagram to Facebook, it's a different background on each of them with a different type of logo. Listen, keep your logo consistent right through all your socials. Consistency is key.
Yeah. Fourth one, so ignoring emotional connection. Like we said earlier, people buy based on emotions and feelings, not just logic, not just specs of a phone. They buy the status and the lifestyle that comes with that.
That's
How is that going to
exactly right.
make them feel?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, that's why, I buy Apple stuff all the time because it makes me feel special.
Yeah.
It makes me feel good. I feel
Yeah.
confident with it, with the gear that we've got,
Easy fix for this. Start telling compelling stories and create experiences. Stop saying, my product does this, and start saying, my product will benefit your life in this way.
That's correct. And that's how all the big brands do it.
Yeah.
Nike do it, the Maserati do it. They might be selling a car, but they're selling the whole experience and the status and everything else that goes along with it,
Yeah. And number five, not backing up your positioning with action. If you claim to be premium, everything from your product to your service must reflect that.
Yeah, 100%.
Massive one.
Yeah, and I mean, I would certainly consider Adonis being a premium brand only because we go that extra mile for our clients. In fact, we go far and beyond what I've ever seen any other agency provide. I may be biased, but that is based on the 22 years experience that we've got and the understanding of how everything works. And that's why we do software and digital transformation and our own applications, because that provides that competitive advantage over our competitors, you know?
Yeah.
But we will always provide a premium support service for that as well. You don't need to wait 48 hours for us to get back to you. We'll get back to you within minutes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And a fix for this is you need to align every aspect of your business with your brand's promise. You should always over-deliver and under-promise. Never over-promise and under-deliver, because you'll just get a bad rep for your name.
And the thing is, what you need to understand about this is you need to make sure, in order for all this to work together, your ICP needs to be in line with everything else within that brand positioning. A prime example of this is, you know, when we emigrated to Mackay, for instance, we started with the local networking group here called BNI. You know, it's got its good points. I'm personally not a lover of the BNI. I think there's a lot of smaller kind of businesses there. Which is good. People are just trying to, you know, move forward with their business and things. But what we've done as a business, we've tried to, even though like a lot of the businesses in the BNI are not our ICP, we've taken it upon ourselves to try and provide our services anyway, because they could see the value in what we're providing.
Yeah.
What generally happens is you bring them on for a couple of months, you're making massive impact in their business. They've got a better looking website, they've got a growth strategy, and we do a lot of this work up front. And then within about 6 months, they're struggling because they don't understand the value, even though you've laid it all out and this kind of thing. And the problem there isn't what we are doing, what we are doing, I suppose, or the what we are not doing, as the client might think. It's more because they're not the ICP, and then realistically, they just don't have the budget for it. So while we are spending all our time on this wrong ICP, we are actually not adhering to our own brand positioning and making sure that we are actually got the ICP right, I suppose, you know?
Yeah. I just want to touch on as well is when you have a business as well, and we've spoke about this a bit earlier, is you want to be unique. You don't want to just copy and paste someone else's idea, because that will backlash on you. And I've seen a really good example of this recently. There's this fashion brand called FN Clothing. I'm not sure if you know about them, but they're pretty big. They're a New Zealand brand based in Sydney, and their pieces are awesome. You can tell there's a lot of love and care and time spent on creating these. However, they had this other company who's also from New Zealand copy some of their designs, and it was quite. There was a few days where, you know, they were going back and forth at each other, and it was over TikTok and Instagram of saying, you know, there was a bit too many coincidences of similarities, you know, like no brand's original and no idea's original either, but you need to add your originality to that.
Yeah.
You can take inspiration from brands, but when you just copy and paste, gosh, you get blown out of it, eh? That would be one of my
there was also, I read a post on LinkedIn of a girl called Caitlin who worked with Grilled, which is a burger joint here in Australia. What they done is they actually changed their Instagram account, which was lacking in engagement and followers and things, and they actually changed it so that to make it private, so that you had to actually ask to be part of the group. And what that does is that hinges on the whole FOMO effect, you know, the fear of missing out. And what it done is it helped generate an extra 30,000 followers and X amount of engagement over a really small period of time.
Yeah, I seen her. I'm actually connected with her on LinkedIn as well and follow her on TikTok. She's an awesome girl. But yeah, I did see that, and I also seen, like, this is what Effin do as well, is they have their main Instagram account, and then they have a private account, which is called Effin on Top, and then the caption says, like, try your luck. So you feel a bit privileged to be, yeah, you know, following this account. So I was like, oh, you know, I follow this account, wow. And then they post things of, like, behind the scenes, and they give special discounts and whatnot to, like, the followers that follow that. And again, it is that sense of, you know, FOMO and, oh, what are they posting in here? I need to follow them here. And they also do, like, drops as well with their clothing. I think they did that from the start, is they'll do, like, they'll drop a certain amount, and it's, like, very exclusive.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, gives that sense of, oh my god, it's 5 p.m. I need to, you know, I need to buy all this or I'm never going to get it.
Yeah.
Which is a really good,
that's good
strategy. All right, so a bit of a recap. Brand positioning isn't just a catchy tagline. It's about how your brand is perceived. The strongest brands don't just compete on price or features. They own a space in their audience's mind. So by defining your unique value, understanding your audience, and consistently reinforcing your position, you can create a brand that stands out and sticks. I want to give a little challenge to everyone, that all the listeners. If you take a look at your brand, like, what do you really want to be known for? What do your customers associate you with? And what, like, make sure that your messaging aligns with your positioning. And if it doesn't, start strengthening it now. Couldn't say that there. Awesome. Well, that wraps up episode 4. Do you have anything else you'd like to say before we head on?
No, really. Just, you know, it would be real beneficial for the listeners to have a look at their brand position and understand exactly what that means. Look at their ICP. Make sure that have a look at the messaging. Does the message, is the message aimed at that ICP? Do they know that ICP or buyer persona inside out? Because that can really help them grow their business. And I look forward to seeing them on episode 5.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys, for the ones that have tuned in. We'll see you next week on episode 5.
Awesome. Bye. Bye.